News Talks Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
Thanks to Air, with UEFA Champions and Europa Leagues action. Brought to you by Air Sport.
Welcome back. So great stuff there from Brendan Murphy. There's a text in from Ken who says this match against Dublin is Carlo's All-Ireland final. Players will throw themselves into every tackle more so than ever. I know it's expected scoreline wise, but when a team has nothing to lose, then sure, why not? Let's just see this progress and maybe promotion next year. Je suis Carlo. Good man, Ken. The rest of the weekend's football obviously included Monaghan on Saturday night beating Fermanagh. Donegal put up a big score in Antrim, 3-19. Mayo, very functional against Sligo, and Louth and Laois also won in Leinster. We'll talk football with Billy Joe Padden and Brendan Devaney in just a moment. We're going to leave the Aidan O'Shea stuff because, frankly, it just seems crazy at this stage, the extent to which he's being talked about by everyone, and it's May, and it seems his biggest crime was signing some autographs or taking some selfies after some challenge match when he'd only played the last couple of minutes of the second part of that challenge match anyway. And this whole thing is actually getting out of control, kicked off by Bernard Flynn. I suspect he regrets doing it now. At this stage last week, when Bernard Flynn brought up Aidan O'Shea getting some selfies in this challenge match in Mullingar, we'll give final word on it to James Horan, who was on the show yesterday.
Bernard Flynn, I have to say, made an absolute tit of himself. I don't think there's any other way to say it. And what, I don't know what it is, but sometimes the big guy that stands out a little bit, maybe other people's insecurities or something. They feel they've got to knock him down to make themselves. But I don't know what it is. It's something bizarre. But the level of flack that Aidan O'Shea has taken, and I can tell you, I was with him for 4 years and coached him for 4 years, and the effort, work and commitment he puts in to being in the shape he's in to play football for Mayo is absolutely phenomenal. I remember we played a game out in Gaelic Park in New York, and I had him captain that day, and how he conducted himself and how he represented the GAA to the community out in New York was absolutely phenomenal. The young players, I remember he was, a lot of us had togged in and we were ready to go, and Aidan was still out there with a lot of those young guys. So for Bernard Flynn to do it, I'm sure Bernard Flynn deep down behind it all knows he made a fool of himself. But people need to take stock, and things can run out of control very, very quickly, and I think the Aidan O'Shea thing has. He's a phenomenal footballer. He's not starting today. I'd say he's dying to get on and just play football. And if someone's confident, someone's good, someone has something to say, well, it should be respected the same as anyone else, not knocked down for being who he is.
So let's get on to the football then from the weekend. Billy Joe and Brendan are ready to go. Billy Joe, I know you didn't catch the Donegal game. Brendan, you were at it. I'm really interested in a whole raft of things here. So it's 3-19 Donegal, Antrim 1-9. This was Donegal's highest scoring tally in a championship game in 51 years. 10 different players got on the scoreboard. And this is a team where there were 5 debutants and another who started, another one brought on, and then there were 2 others who started for the first time in the championship. So there's just been a serious turnaround of players in Donegal in recent years. Just 5 players who started the 2014 All-Ireland final defeat to Kerry started against Antrim. How good are these guys, Brendan?
I suppose it's impossible to gauge them on yesterday. So we've seen them in the league, and as we were saying last week when we were on, the level of experience that the lads have got from the league has been unbelievable, playing against all the best teams in Ireland. And it's really putting the top league teams away, everybody else, in terms of the preparation. They're getting brilliant games week in, week out. And for these young lads to be in that league format, it's obviously a step down from championship, and to find their feet and find their way through the team. There were some brilliant performances in the league once they got settled, having not played in the McKenna Cup. So, I think Donegal yesterday, I mean, we interviewed Neil McGee after the game. He says he didn't know much about Antrim, and that's not taking any away from Rory or Donegal's preparations. Donegal is so far ahead of Antrim that they know whatever Antrim come with, Donegal figured out in the day. And in fairness to Antrim management, Adams and Fitzsimons, they had a plan to come and try and unhinge Donegal. And at the start of the match, they did that. And great rotation on the forward line, some great movement from McCann, brilliant freeze from CJ McGordy. And Donegal were a bit lackluster. They didn't really have their blanket defence set up. There was gaps. There was 3 goal chances. And, even on top of that, twice I've seen Rory McCann play. He was named at number 10. I don't know if his wing half forward position even exists anymore. But he ghosted in and he was free and he wasn't seen. So you're kind of thinking, oh, Donegal, you're just waiting for it to kick off. And it was probably on the back of a missed chance by Matthew Fitzpatrick, a goal chance. Donegal went up the pitch. Jimmy Brennan, keeping a real cool head for a young guy, making his debut, rattle the back of the net. And everybody, the inevitability of what we thought was going to happen happened. And it was rough justice on Antrim, who had started the match really well. Donegal hadn't. But that bang, and I was kind of thinking to Monaghan the night before, you're looking at the bench. Donegal had a serious bench, and he thought Roy's going to have a rollicking these boys. He probably didn't need to, because Donegal, you know, went in 5 points up, which was very tough justice on Antrim, who battled bravely first half, but you just know then it was going to be, you know, a cricket score second half.
Yeah, it's the problem with trying to analyse all of these mismatches, I guess. You've referenced two of the things I was going to mention to you, though. The gaps that were there in the defence, Antrim at those goal chances, diagonal balls suddenly took so many players out. You would presume that will be worked on and sorted out. The Paddy McGrath goal, Donegal running at its best. I mean, we've seen Donegal perfect counter-attacking running football. I mean, if that's coming back to this extent, then they're going to have a real chance of hurting anyone.
Yeah, Joe, just what you mentioned, all those young lads, they can go up and down that pitch all day long, and it's something that Donegal couldn't do last year. They had shared experience, and you just cannot do that. It's an age thing, it's miles on the clock. Antrim edged out Donegal in a tough minor game. Donegal have been producing some serious minor teams and underage teams the last few years. You know, and what happened to him? I mean, Sean Kelly, current St. Gall's manager and ex-Antrim player, was doing some work with us yesterday, and he was just saying the turnover of players in Antrim, you know, you're used to seeing that with the likes of London and New York, but for a county team to keep turning over players, there's no continuity. And what happens to Antrim minor players now in the next few years? Like, you know, what's ahead for them? If you look at even the best from that Donegal minor team yesterday, they'll be nurtured. They'll be brought in if they're good enough, but they'll certainly be nurtured and coached, and the best got out of them. And it's just, as we're saying, that mismatch is there. And for a team like Antrim, like with the city of Belfast now behind them, it's just a pity. There's teams out there, you think, right, they just are not going to have the pool of players, they're not going to have the resources. But Antrim should have that, like, and it's terrible they've gone back so far, starting next division, next season, and obviously in Division 4.
So, yesterday doesn't change your opinion of Donegal in any great way because it's such a mismatch. It doesn't affect how you would view Donegal's chances against, say, it's Tyrone in the semi-final.
Yeah, of all the games, you know, you think Derry, you know, there's still a wee bit of a fear. Could Derry do something against Tyrone? Mm. People saying not. They're only a division apart. You know, obviously Donegal and Antrim were miles apart, but a brilliant workout for the lads. And I was just thinking, for young guys making their senior start now, Joe, it's not like it was years ago. You could be isolated in corner forward or corner back, and some guy taking lumps out of you, or some guy boxing you in and not getting into the game. Mm. Because of rotation and players playing over the pitch now, everybody can go out, get yourself on the ball, get a touch. So it's a brilliant way for young players to come in now, and you know that it's all about the work. Go and work hard, get on the ball, win free, show for the ball, and play your part in the squad. And that's all you have to do, you know. So the pressure is very much off a lot of these young lads in terms of, you know, fitting into the Donegal team, because everybody's playing the one style. But yeah, certainly it was one that Donegal just wanted out of the way. You're going to see the real test the next day out against, more than likely, Tyrone. Yeah,
Billy Joe, it's been a quiet camp, the Mayo camp, really. Very few leaks coming out about how they're going. So a lot of people were interested to see yesterday. It finished 2-14 to 11 points. It was a weirdly quiet atmosphere. Mayo were probably in third gear for most of it, and realistically, there was never even a hint of a shock being on the cards. So kind of a functional, typical mismatch. There's no major adrenaline going on. How do you analyse it?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I think at the same time, you know, I agree with you that, you know, I don't think Mayo were ever really in trouble, but it was kind of uninspiring at times as well. You kind of got the feeling that in the past, particularly in Connacht, that Mayo would have played well for, you know, really well for 15 or 20 minutes and, you know, done the damage and put Sligo to bed. They never really did that yesterday, even though they seem to always keep Sligo at arm's length. And I suppose,
I wonder to what extent might that be they realise it's a pointless exercise at this stage? Like, they beat them 26 points before, and what was the point?
Well, I think Mayo supporters will be hoping that is there. You know, and it's something that has crept into this Mayo team, particularly all through last year, where even through the qualifiers, where there were, you know, in some games they were put under pressure, the Fermanagh game and the Westmeath game, they just seemed to be able to turn it on for 5 or 10 minutes and, you know, just do enough. Mm. And then when it comes up, when the big teams come up, you know, they started at an altogether different level. But you just would worry sometimes, because it's hard to just keep switching it on like that. But they, as I said, that, you know, we have to have faith in them. They've shown that they can do that. And really, I suppose what you look at it this way, after that performance, that it wasn't, you know, really top notch. And you would consider the way Monaghan and Donegal kind of pulled away you know, much sooner in the second half. They were probably more impressive. And I think it probably means that Mayo are going into this away game in Galway, you know, and it's probably going to turn into a 50-50 game.
Mm. Fergal Boland was a bright spot. Good debut. 2 points. Is he a fixture now for the championship?
Yeah, I think so. I think I had kind of thought coming into the championship, like he'd been very positive throughout the league, that, you know, the ideal scenario for him would be fellas ahead of him be playing a bit better and he'd come on in the last 20 minutes. But I think what you see with him is he's a really, really confident footballer, and you know, he executes, he's a real high skill level, his kick passing is very good. If he gets a shot, he more often than not knocks it over the bar. He's probably still struggling in a bit of physicality, but he has a lot of cleverness and seems to be able to manoeuvre himself around the pitch so that he has space. So that's a huge positive. I think Chris Barrett and Jared Caffey, fellas that have been out with a lot of injury, coming in there to the full back line, it's an area of, I suppose, limited resources for this Mayo team. They came in there and looked reasonably solid, great for Caffey again after such a long layoff. And you'd hope then with Harrison coming back, who was so impressive last year, that that might free up Keith Higgins to go up the field a bit. And then that's the area of the field where he might end up that, you know, if Mayo are going to be successful, it's ultimately going to be that middle third, that half back line. They're going to, it's creating the mismatches in that area of the field, breaking the line, runners off the shoulder. And if Mayo are going to be successful, that's what they have to focus on.
That's still ultimately it for Mayo, Brendan, isn't it? Their best chance. Those runners from deep, creating overloads, that's how they're going to get the bulk of their scores. That is how this Mayo team go about it. They don't have a forward line akin to Monaghan. The Mayo method is not going to change dramatically.
No, I think people, obviously, when you get so close, everybody looks, what is it? Is it this? Have they not got defensive structure? They're conceding too many goals, used to be the thing. Now it's they don't have marquee forwards. But look at how close they were. You know, if they'd have crossed across the line, none of this would have been happening. So everybody's trying to figure out what is wrong. But, they're so much better than almost every other team in the country, and they have this serious power, and they just go back to that power aspect. Because when they come up against a team that can match them powerfully, which often doesn't happen in Connacht, what happens then, like, it comes down to the skill factors and comes down to them, you know, being able to get across the line in all those aspects, defending, counter-attack and putting away teams in. And, you know, they've just come so, so close that you think, you know, you keep thinking, Joe, that they're gone, they're going to be rid off. Like, you just look back to last year, defeat to Galway, you think that's it. And there they are, you know, so close again. So, you know, again, you write off Mayo at their peril. Like, when they get to Croke Park, you know, they're still a serious outfit.
Is that just the reality now for a team with this age profile, Billy Joe, and the miles on the clock, that they'll stumble is too strong a word, but they'll just meander their way through the early parts of the championship. One way or another, they'll get to Croke Park, and then for 2-3 games, they empty themselves. And that is their best chance at this point. Or would you like to see them barnstorming their way all the way to Croke Park?
No, I don't know. I don't know if it's a case that I need to see them barnstorming. I suppose you would just like to see them put together a bit more cohesive going forward, put a few more passing moves. I know there was a couple of instances in the second half last year where there were a couple of really good counterattacks. All right, they butchered a few of them. You just want to see a little bit more of that. But I think you're right. I think the players themselves, and it might be to the frustration of Stephen Rotcher, I think the players themselves recognise that they can do that, that they have that capacity because they have that miles of talk. And you look at somebody like Shamie O'Shea, he missed all of the league effectively. Mm. He comes back in, he's obviously got himself a good nick. He is just there for a 3-month window of what he can do in that period. And there's probably a bunch of other players in the squad that are working around that mindset as well. And that's why that's they're the sort of pressurized circumstances they're working in. And you know, fair play to them for that. And they're going out there testing themselves again.
By the way, Brendan, some sensational systematic fouling from Mayo on their own half-forward line when Sligo were trying to build. It was a thing of beauty. And Fitzmaurice and Gavin have it tucked in their back pocket already, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure Billy Joe can come up with an excuse about that there. Sure, you know, just looking at a point there from it yesterday and something, I suppose, Mayo, you know, forgetting about the marquee forwards, I think he can win All-Irelands without that because you're generally not, nobody's kicking. You just need a really good free kicker, hopefully too, if you have him. But, like, Monaghan had 13 different scores on Saturday evening, and Donegal had 10. They got 1-5 and 1-6 from their bench, and I think that's what it's all about. Everybody has to chip in. I mean, I wonder if there's a day coming, Joe, where the full 15 score on the pitch. I'd say that day could come, you know, which would have been crazy when you think about 10 years ago. But I think that's the thing with me. Everybody has to chip in with scores and forget about this marquee thing. You know, you work with what you have.
Lads, we'll leave it there. Brilliant stuff. Thanks a million. Brendan Devaney and Billy Joe Padden with their thoughts on the football at the weekend. GAA News Talk brought to you by Bord Gáis Energy, official electricity partner to the GAA. Follow hashtag hurling to the core for all the senior hurling championship action. So there you go. That's Brendan Devaney and Billy Joe Padden giving their thoughts on the weekend's football. You've already heard that James Horan was at McHale Park for us covering the game yesterday, and you've heard his thoughts on Bernard Flynn and the level of scrutiny on Aidan O'Shea. At full time yesterday, we did speak to James in a bit more depth about the Mayo performance. We first put it to him that, again, these are difficult games to analyse, and this seemed like a pretty standard functional performance from Mayo.
Yeah, it was tricky. You know, if you're looking for an electric performance and people to be firing and showing early intent, you know, you didn't really get that in this game. You know, yeah. Mayo started a little sluggish. Sligo would have been happy playing sort of a containment game. Extra guys at Adrian Marin and the Ewing back, you know, even with the wind in the first half, and they were happy to be close. You know, obviously after the scars of a couple of years ago where Mayo obliterated them, so you would have expected that. But you know, you would have been looking for Mayo maybe after all the rubbish that's been talked or whatever to come out, you know, with the real intent, and you didn't see that. You know, you saw some flashes of really good stuff, some great scores, Andy Moran's at the start of the game, but it just went back and over with a lot of mistakes, a lot of niggly, soft, lazy fouling on both sides, and that sort of killed the game as the energy of the game and right through it. It was one of the quietest games I've been at in McHale Park in a long time. You know,
yeah, what was the crowd like? Because every time we went to you, it was eerily quiet.
Yeah, and I was sitting up here in the press box, and really we're right in the middle of the main stand, so it was as quiet as I've ever heard it.
Yeah. Was the crowd poor, or was it about right for that?
No, a biggish crowd. Right. I didn't get the official attendance, but a big crowd. But it just the game was so broken, and so there's 14,600 people here.
Oh, nice.
But it was such a broken up game with a lot of little fouls. There wasn't really the big hits or the big smashes or the big plays, you know, that get a crowd going.
Yeah.
So there wasn't any of those, and it just meandered along.
There was just watching on TV. I got to watch the second half really properly. There was just an inescapable sense, and everybody was aware of it, that Sligo were not going to win this game, and Mayo were going to win this game, and you never quite got even within a stratosphere of feeling that was not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. The end of the first half, Mayo for 4 or 5 minutes just cranked it up and started that way at the start of the second half. And Paddy Durkin in particular just took a chance every time, was gone, and had a couple of goal chances that they didn't take. But there was an acceptance about it almost, I'd say, around the place that it was going to come to an inevitable conclusion where Mayo would win it by 5 or 6 or whatever. But you didn't get, I suppose, enough excitement or tempo or pace through it that you'd be looking for. But having said that, from Mayo point of view, Stephen Rocher would be happy. Jerkaff had a very Jerkaff type game, no nonsense, really tight to his man, really strong. Fergal Boland, who we talked about in the first half, was very, very good in the second half, very influential in the second half, came up with a few scores and was really linked very, very well, and probably was one of Mayo's, if not Mayo's, best player on the day.
So he's going to be a fixture for this championship.
Yeah, he's certainly done enough to he trains well, you know, the next 2 weeks. He's going to be starting against Galway, you know, which is exciting that there's another guy. That he's a good scorer. Jimmer O'Connor, you know, with his rampage and drop shot there was good as well. He looks to be fit and strong. You know, last year he was carrying a couple of niggly injuries, so he looks to be clear of that. And you know, you get Jermid going like he can, that'll be a huge boost. You know, so from that point of view, it was very, I suppose, it was positive from the panel development point of view for Mayo.
It's just impossible, presumably, to produce your best stuff when the adrenaline is not pumping, when the atmosphere is not pumping, when you're a Mayo team as experienced as this. If you're Rochford driving home tonight, that's what you're telling yourself, or are you anyway worried?
No, I wouldn't be worried. You'd hope, though, you know, that goes both ways, your point, that, you know, experienced team, you know, regardless of the opposition or the occasion, you're looking for a top performance, you know, and you hear that out of Jim Gavin all the time. You sort of train or you prepare against that almost, you know, that regardless, you're going to try and give the best performance you can. So, it of course, it's difficult, but you're working all the time to get better at your performances. So, you know, one way, you know, Stephen going into the Galway game, you know, Galway may be up there, might be, you know, people might be talking them up a little bit after Mayo's performance today, you know, which, you know, maybe with everything that's going on, it mightn't be a bad thing that it's just, it'll be quiet down here for a while and they can put their heads down and prepare really well.
I'm right in saying, I mentioned it to you before, Throne, I'm right in saying it's been a particularly tight camp, it seems like, in Mayo. They really have kept the head down.
Yeah, but they're a very tight group. You know, the majority of that group has been together for quite a, you know, 5 or 6 years now. And, you know, they'd be the leaders in there. So any new guy that comes in, there's only been a couple of new guys that have come in. So any guys that do, they will quickly learn what the culture is and what the setup is. You know, they've been strong and, you know, with the issues over the last couple of years, I think that could have welded them even stronger together and they'll be tight, you know, and they'll know that Aidan O'Shea is getting a lot of flack or whatever, and they'll be putting their heads down and they'll be working through that as a group.
We've talked about O'Shea already, if people are just tuning in, and you gave your take on the Bernard Flynn stuff. You see, the problem with the Flynn thing was he extrapolated so much from such a nothing small incident, which and he extracted far too much from that one-off incident. Generally, would, like Paul Galvin was sort of saying, oh, look, it probably would have been ideal if he had just stayed in the huddle, said no for the selfies until he was done. I can see both sides of it, to be honest.
Yeah, and as I said to you, Aidan O'Shea and how he treats and how he works with the young supporters at all the games, he's exemplary, and it's what the GAA need. I can see Paul Galvin's point completely, though, in that situation. Guys, you know, the young guys come over to him, guys, can you just give me 2 minutes and I'll be straight back? You just have to do this, that and the other. You know, and that would, if you look back at it now, that seems the right thing or the obvious thing to do. But, you know, after a game, a challenge match where he's only played half the game, where he'll probably be going in doing some foam rolling after it or whatever it is, there's a couple of young guys up to him really excited and they want an autograph. You know, you're going to give them your autograph, you know.
Yeah. You certainly can't go public and say this is why Mayo aren't winning. Like that's where it's a step too far. That's where it becomes unfair on O'Shea, I think.
But to me, that's beyond belief. And you know how you can make that extrapolation. And you know, I wasn't going to say this. And this, my God, how big an issue this is. Sure, it's a nonsense. It's a nonsense for me. But hopefully now, you know, Mayo are up and running, playing football. Aidan O'Shea came on and, you know, gave a decent display, hit one or two really nice passes. You know, set up Killian for a good score there, you know. So that's where Aidan O'Shea is at his best and Mayo at their best, just doing their stuff on the field.
I know you're close with him, so I don't want to take advantage of your friendship or relationship with him. To what extent does all the noise around him bother him?
He's a strong character, very smart guy. As you mentioned earlier, very engaged with what's going on. But you know, but it's not Aidan I'd necessarily worry about. It's the amount of media traffic around Aidan O'Shea. It's his family and maybe his parents and his young sister that, you know, it's relentless. Wherever you go, whatever shop you go into, it's all the talk. So it's unfair from that point of view. You know, I'm sure deep down Aidan O'Shea will be sick of all the rubbish that's been talked about him. A lot of it because of nothing really that he's done other than just that he's that size of a guy. and you know, he's one of the first guys you'd notice on a field. So he just needs to be conscious of it and hopefully it'll die. And if he puts his head down and trains, you know, it'll eventually someone else will become the story.
I mean, he is so eye-catching when you go to see a game. I caught quite a few of Mayo's games live last year and he draws the eye and he can get involved in his own little skirmishes with different players who are having to cut off him and trying to provoke him, and you can be watching him all the time and unduly thinking, well, what's O'Shea doing? He's doing nothing here. And like, you know, there's very few other players you're looking at with those kind of standards. Like, it's impossible for one person to be a Roy of the Rovers all the time.
Yeah, and there's guys like that. You basically use different criteria almost subconsciously to how you rate how they play.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Murphy would be up there as well. Michael Murphy isn't doing anything. He's playing centre. You know, you've heard how many conversations over the years, and yet they could be doing a brilliant job for the team.
He's
had
11 possessions and kicked 6 points, but he wasn't great.
Exactly. So it's a perception as much as anything else, you know, of how some of these guys play. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying O'Shea's been immense in every big game either. Like, I mean, the guy's not perfect, clearly, but that doesn't justify the level of criticism he can get.
Yeah, well, a lot of it is totally unwarranted. It's absolute rubbish. You know, sometimes, of course, Aidan O'Shea doesn't do favours for himself. As you said, sometimes, you know, there's because he's a big guy, same with Michael Murphy, they're going to get more tackles or they're going to get more guys nudging them or at them, trying to provoke a reaction out of them. So, you know, he has to learn to deal with that, and he does, you know, 99% of the time he does very, very well with that. So he just has to learn to deal with that and now try and just maybe kill the media storm that's out there. And, you know, there's ways of doing that, obviously, just, you know, not doing any press releases or whatever. But is that the right thing either? But maybe where it is now at the moment, 3 weeks really hard training and looking forward to trying to get onto the team for the Galway match is exactly what he needs.
So final thoughts then with Galway coming into view, June the 11th, Pearce Stadium. Mayo have averaged 14 points across the league campaign per game. And today it was 2-14, so 14 points again. And the two goals obviously were well taken. Like, is that still the biggest area where you'd like to see more from them?
Yeah, you know, maybe had a couple of goal chances that they could have added to that. But I think, yeah, that's, you know, 14 points isn't going to win in Salt Hill the next day in Championship and a Connacht semi-final. So, yeah, I think so. Today, if you look at the game, and you're always looking for a structure or some patterns of play that you know you could use in any game, and it was difficult to see that today. It was you know, as I said at half time, it was a lot of Sligo's mistake that Mayo were counter attacking and looked quite threatening on the counter attack. It wasn't any sort of phased play where Mayo right here, you know, they get in their cornerback and they know everyone knows what they're doing. There wasn't any sort of joined up thinking like that, or it wasn't obvious certainly. So you'd be looking for some more consistency and a method of what they're trying to do.
And that's not the kind of thing they would potentially hold in reserve against a team like Sligo, is it?
Oh no, absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
You'd
be looking for in a game where you'd be very confident, and when you're up, you'd be looking to try as many of those as possible. Okay. To perfect them. So
that'd be a slight worry.
I think if Mayo get their intensity, like at the start of the second half when Mayo looked really really threatening, again it was Patrick Durkin. Lee Keegan had pushed up. He pushed right up almost to centre half forward for a lot of the second half. So when they come with real pace and intensity, that's where Mayo generate a lot of their attacks from. So, but it's the inside line and how they interact and the runs they make so that the runners can come off them at the right time. That's where they can perhaps look at.
Right, so trying to sync all that up essentially.
Exactly.
Is the thing. Okay. Listen, very good stuff. And, by the way, I mean, you mentioned the fouling on both sides. There was a period where your boys, whiter than white, I mean, plenty of... I don't know if it's systematic, but it's certainly some fairly coordinated fouling around the half forward line, stopping Sligo building. As guilty of it as any team in the country.
That's a serious accusation.
No, it's not. It's absolutely fine.
No, absolutely. I remember out here in front of me, I think Conor O'Shea followed.
Aidan O'Shea. Yeah.
There was a couple there, absolutely. That's where a ref needs to be strong. I agree with you completely. There was a lot of those fouls happening, and if you do that, you know, I'm sure a good ref when he's preparing for his next game, say the Galway match, will be aware of that, and hopefully that's closely monitored.
I'm telling you, Jim Gavin, Fitzmaurice, they have that in their back pocket. That's going to be unveiled. Right. Thanks very much for all that
stuff.
Man. Cheers.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love, free, on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.